I know it can always be tempting at this time to maybe read some of the material you received when you came in. I might encourage you to actually grab your Bibles though and have a look with me at Luke chapter 15. There are some passages of the Bible that when I read them, it has been known for tears to well up in my eyes. There are some passages of the Bible that when I preach on them, it has been known for my voice to crack. There are some passages of the Bible that are precious gems, aren't there? There are some passages of the Bible that are very, 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 very challenging and disturb my settled life. The passages that were just read for us from the Gospel of Luke, I wonder if you can guess which one of those extremes they fit into. It's both. It's both. The passages that were just read for us were two parables of Jesus. As you know, we've been looking at some parables in recent weeks, and for another couple of weeks we'll be looking at parables from Luke's Gospel. These two parables actually form part of a trio, because there's actually three, but we don't have time today to look at the third one. It's the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son. Often we used to call it the parable of the prodigal son, but the lost son is actually a better phrase. And the reason why it's better to be called the parable of the lost son is because the three parables actually have exactly the same meaning. In fact, they have the same points, the same three points come out of the same three parables. I get the feeling that Jesus was trying to get his point across, and so he said it, and then he said it one again, and then one more time just for the dummies who didn't quite get it. And the passage that was read for us, we see that the very first point that is true to all three of them, but we're only going to look at the first two today, is that in each of the stories, something of value ends up missing. Something of value is lost. In the first parable, it was a sheep. In the second, it's a coin. In the first parable, it was the shepherd loses one of his 100 sheep, which is really quite interesting because when you've got, in our situation in modern days, you often can have a large mob, and so one sheep goes missing and, well, you may not notice it. In fact, we've seen that this week, haven't we, with the news stories about the sheep that sort of missed the shearing for the last couple of years. Did you see that story? It was 40-odd kilo fleece or something like that. It can be very easy to miss a sheep, but you see, to this shepherd, he knew. This one sheep was very valuable and it ended up lost. And it mattered to him. And to the woman, she loses a coin. How often do we lose 20 cents down the back of the couch and don't even worry about it? But for her, no, it's not 20 cents down the back. It's one of her 10 coins. It's a silver coin. It's often understood that it would be the equivalent of a day's wages. You lose a day's wages down the back of the couch, you'll know about it, won't you? Something that is lost and something that matters to someone. The sheep to the shepherd, the coin to the woman. Now, why does Jesus tell these stories? Well, did you see what he was accused of at the start of the parable? Have a look at me, verses 1 and 2. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." He welcomes sinners. Sinners is one of those religious terms you see in the scriptures. It's an all-encompassing term. It involves a number of people. It involves those who are no-hopers, those who are drunkards, those who are prostitutes, those who are tax collectors, those who are irreligious, those who were far from God. It's used as a generic term. Those who were the riffraff, those who were the outcast, those who were the less respectable, those who had too many drinks, those who sold their bodies, those who bend the rules, those who were traitors to the Jewish nation. It includes those. And they gathered around Jesus, so they wanted to hear him, and Jesus spent time with them, and the religious leaders muttered. Some things never change, do they? We all mutter about things. And so Jesus tells three stories. Can you see where these parables are going? Something is lost, and it matters to somebody. These people, these sinners, are far from God. They are missing, they are lost, and it matters to the Father. It mattered to God. That's the first point in each of the parables. The second point flows naturally from the first. Something of value is lost, and so therefore it warrants an all-out search. Did you notice in the stories how long each of the people searched for? In the first one, if you look at verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And it's exactly the same situation with the woman. Verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? It warranted an all-out search. Everything was put on hold. 99 sheep left in the safe open country, light lamps, turn the house literally upside down until the sheep and the coin are found. An all-out search. How do you know if something is valuable? You might be tempted to say, well, it depends on how much someone will pay for it. Well, actually, a good way of working out if something is valuable is if you lose it, will you go looking? It warranted an all-out search for these people who were lost. And so Christ came. At just the right time, Paul puts it in the book of Romans. At just the right time, Christ came to not only teach us of who God is and what he is on about, but to show us his incredible grace and mercy, to die in our place, to rise again, to give us new life, so that we might be forgiven, that we might be brought back into the family, if I can borrow the images from the third parable that we're not looking at today. In fact, if you look at the whole Bible is actually about God's rescue mission. Search mission for that which is lost. The whole Bible is about it. It warranted an all-out search because something of value was lost. The third point in each of the parables is somewhat surprising in some sense, but not really when you think about it. After that which was lost is found, it's a time of celebration. It's a party. In the first one, you notice that the shepherd, verse 6, and he goes home and he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I always wonder if lamb was on the menu that night. I'm sort of thinking it might have been beef. And then the same story with the woman. Verse 9, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." And if you know the story of the lost son, you know how it ends, don't you? It ends with beef on the menu. Go and kill the fattened calf and rejoice, because this son of mine was lost but now is found. Was dead but now is alive. There was a great celebration. Can you hear how God's heart beats faster for those who are lost, who then draw close to him? I often wonder and imagine what it was like some 30 plus years ago when it was my turn to go from being lost to found. And as it says there, look, it says, I tell you, verse 7, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or Jesus says almost the same thing in verse 10, in the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I often try and imagine that day when the angels of God rejoiced over me. Have you ever imagined when it occurred for you? And who am I? When you think about it, who am I? In many ways, I'm not anyone special, and yet I mattered to God. As you can see, I often get emotional. I said at the start that these parables are both encouraging and challenging at the same time. On the encouraging side, do you realise how much you matter to God? Do you realise that it warranted an all-out search so that you could be found and that Christ came? Do you realise that there was a celebration in the heavenly realms? And in a room like this, I know that there will still be some for whom that may not be a possibility yet, for whom that celebration is still on hold. And so I say to you, do you realise? Do you realise how valuable you are to the Father and how much it warranted an all-out search? It doesn't matter who you are, where you have been, what you have done. But come home. And it can start with such a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. And mine was quite interesting. Mine was more a prayer like this. Lord, I need to get serious about this. That was my prayer. It was quite effective. And if that's you, then do you realise who you are in the Father's eyes? Come and see me if you need some more information on that. It's a conversation I long to have. But for the rest of us, there's a possibility that that celebration occurred in many ways a long time ago, and we've been followers of Jesus for quite a while, but it's still possible that our relationship with God can grow stale, isn't it? And so I say to you, do you realise how valuable you are in the Father's eyes? I pray that the Spirit of God might take that message today and bring new life to your relationship with Him. But there's a challenge in this, in these parables as well. Because do you realise the urgency of the situation? Do you realise how valuable everyone is in the Father's eyes? Do you know that you never, ever, ever look into the eyes of someone who doesn't matter to God? Never, ever. Do you realise that you will never, ever bump into somebody in the street for whom Christ did not die? Do you realise that you will never, ever, ever speak to someone that the Father doesn't long for them to be part of His family? I can be so tempted to write people off. Yep, you heard it here. I can be so tempted to write people off who frustrate me and annoy me and disagree with me. And sometimes I think they deserve it, and yet they still matter to the Father. It doesn't condone their actions, it doesn't condone what they believe, but they matter to the Father. They are valuable. Can you hear how God's heart beats fast for those who are far from Him? But it's not easy, is it, to know that and to live that? I just consider the modern era that we live in. I understand whilst I've been away, you've been having some interesting times down in front of the town hall. And you might have various views on the whole thing about the mosque. Do you realize that every single person, no matter which side of the debate they fall on, matters to God? Even the ones who yell loudly. With the same-sex marriage and with the whole religion, religious education in schools, and with every debate and every issue you mention, whether you fall on one side or the other, do you realise that the person on the other side of the debate matters to the Father? Whether you agree with them or not, they matter to the Father. And the refugees' situation is another classic example. Do you realise they too matter to the Father? Do you realise that every person you go to work with, every person you see at school or uni, every person you meet at the Probus Club, every person you meet and play bridge with on a Tuesday night, you name it, you name the place, every single person, do you realise they matter to the Father? It can be very easy to be like the religious leaders, can't it, and just separate ourselves. Do you grasp the grace that has been shown to you? We just sang about it, amazing grace. Do you grasp that grace? And my question then is, are you willing to share it with anybody else? Will we at the very least pray for our family members and our workmates and our Probus Club friends and whoever else, our very neighbours, will we pray that they too might know the grace that is theirs and that they matter to God, and it warranted an all-out search, and there is a great celebration waiting for them? We don't need to have huge evangelistic programs. You don't need to invite Billy Graham to Bendigo. Do you realise that every single part of the Bendigo community is being infiltrated by people who know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I am looking at a lot of those people right now who have infiltrated, in inverted commas, the various parts of the Bendigo community. We are those missionaries. We gather here every Sunday. We gather, we celebrate what God has done for us. We encourage one another. We support one another. That is all good. But then we go back out to be his people, and to share that grace and to share the message of these parables. And then we come back again, inviting others to join us. I said at the start that these are such precious gems, these parables. I reckon, if nothing else, if there was only one page of the scriptures that I was allowed to have, I think I'd choose this page. Do you also realise how challenging they are? What will we do with them? I'm just going to allow that question to sit for a second. And in the quietness of this place, what will we do with them? Gracious Lord, we thank you for your view of us. Though we are far from you, though we were your sinners, enemies of you, you considered us valuable and that it warranted an all-out search. We ask you in your mercy, Lord, to remind us of the grace that is ours. I pray for those here today, Lord, for whom that relationship with you is on hold, is still not there, and I pray, Lord, that they might know how valuable they are in your eyes. And for those of us for whom our relationship with you has grown stale and cold, fan that flame again, Lord. And let us be your missionaries, Lord. Let us at the very least be burdened to pray for our family and our friends and our neighbours and our workmates and whoever it is that you call us to be amongst, that they too might know that which was lost can be found, and there will be a great celebration. This we ask in Jesus' name.